Well, from concerns over coal dust to growing unease in public health circles about Queensland's management of communicable diseases, as cuts to health services there continue. The state's largest sexual health HIV clinic is the latest target as the Newman government seeks to shift costs from the state to the Commonwealth. Health experts are warning this will lead to a rise in sexually transmitted diseases in Queensland. Cathy Van Extel has more.
The Sexual Health Centre at Brisbane's Biala House sees 13,000 clients a year. About half are HIV/AIDS patients. But after operating it for several decades, the Health Department is looking to shift the costs to the Commonwealth. It's announced plans to close the sexual health clinic this month. Although following community outcry, it's agreed to keep the HIV clinic open with limited capacity. GPs will be expected to pick up the burden, but with only 6 or 7 GPs in Brisbane eligible to prescribe HIV medication, AMA Queensland President Alex Markwell says there are serious concerns.
They're telling us that they don't have capacity to pick up the additional patients that potentially will need to be looked after if the proposal goes ahead. Then there's the other issue of the other patients going to the sexual health service, and they wouldn't necessarily be going to the HIV doctors, they'd be going to other doctors or no doctor, and that's where the biggest risk lies at this stage.
The AMA says the Biala Sexual Health Clinic provides a critical specialist health service.
Considering the nature of this service and the transient nature of the patients that go there, we know that they often won't have GPs. They're not going to access alternative services for their care. The risk is that they just won't receive any treatment and that they'll be untreated, and patients who are unaware of what conditions they may have that will then lead to increased transmission throughout the community.
And this comes at a time when a number of STIs are on the rise, particularly in Queensland, syphilis.
Yes, syphilis, and we've also seen epidemics of chlamydia and gonorrhea in some parts of regional Queensland as well. This service and others provide very accessible, confidential and treatment that is at no cost to the patient. It means that they are much more likely to seek treatment, be tested and have counselling as appropriate and education that goes with it.
The decision to close the sexual health clinic has been made by the Metro North Hospital and Health Board, which came into effect last year. There's concern that the return to local hospital boards across Queensland is fragmenting the system and undermining statewide health policy, including in the communicable diseases sphere. Dr. Markwell again.
There have been a string of unrelated decisions that have been made by various boards as well as the Department of Health that do raise significant concerns about the importance of public health and communicable diseases in Queensland. It's a bit like a rudderless ship at the moment. It does raise significant concerns that we are really losing our focus on the long-term health of Queenslanders, and these are short-term decisions that really have significant long-term effects that we may not see for some time, but we're very concerned that they will have a detrimental effect over the next few years.
The Queensland Nurses Union agrees. President Beth Mole says hospital boards are making ad hoc funding cuts to meet budgets at the expense of policy.
We're certainly very concerned that it appears that there's a pattern here that anything that the state government believes that the federal government should be funding, be that sexual health services or other primary and preventative health services or indeed even aged care, the hospital and health services are trying to get out of the business of providing those services, and we believe it's an incredibly brutal and fast funding and policy response. But really what's most concerning is it's happening in a policy vacuum, and each of the hospital and health services are doing their own thing and are doing very different things. So we're getting very unintended consequences, we believe, from these decisions that are being made in a very ad hoc basis.
The Nurses Union shares concerns about the closure of the Biala sexual health clinics and fears other hospital boards will follow suit. Beth Mole says communicable diseases must be managed within a statewide policy.
There's a lack of a public health policy anchor right now for a whole range of communicable diseases that we're extremely concerned about. And there's been a loss of significantly important personnel with the head of communicable diseases just departing Queensland Health recently. We're very concerned about the loss of that significant expertise there.
She's referring to the recent sudden departure of the senior director of communicable diseases, Christine Selvey, who, after 6 years in the job, was given no reason for her contract termination. Alex Markwell from the AMA says it could be a difficult position to fill.
It does start to build a picture of uncertainty around what the process and the focus on public health and communicable diseases at the moment in Queensland is. I guess we'll be interested to see who applies for this position. Given the reputation that Queensland has at the moment in the rest of the country, there's a lot of concern throughout the nation that we're really starting to let things slide a bit, and that will have flow-on effects not just for Queensland but for the rest of Australia as well.
Another communicable disease that's been targeted for cuts is tuberculosis. After the Bligh government's closure of TB clinics in Torres Strait for PNG nationals, the Newman government further reduced TB services, shifting responsibility to local hospital and health boards. Last month, a 20-year-old PNG woman died in Cairns Hospital, where she'd been treated since last May for extremely drug-resistant TB. And there's ongoing concern amongst health experts that Australia is vulnerable to more deadly strains of TB from cross-border infections. Concern about a fragmented approach to communicable diseases management in Queensland comes at a time when there's a push to create a national communicable diseases centre, like those in the US, Canada and the UK. A federal parliamentary report recently noted evidence that Australia's response to outbreaks tends to be disjointed, hampered by federalism and reliant on informal networks of experts. John Kaldor from the Kirby Institute is a member of Communicable Diseases Network Australia.
With a little bit of more resources being focused at a national level, we could do a lot more with the information and the expertise we already have around the country.
At the moment, then, you're relying on information being fed through via the states, is that right?
Under constitutional structure, communicable disease control is primarily a state matter. And so for the foreseeable future, the states will be the primary locus of control for communicable diseases. But as you'd be aware, communicable diseases don't respect state or national or even any sort of borders or boundaries. I think it is really important in Australia that every jurisdiction has a strong degree of focus and leadership in communicable diseases control, and that focus is in a position to interact effectively with the national level.
That's Professor John Kaldor, who's a member of Communicable Diseases Network Australia, ending that report from Cathy Van Exstel. You're listening to RM Breakfast. It's 22 minutes past 8.